Ben in Brooklyn, I want to completely and utterly remove the word guesstimate. It doesn't add anything. Guess is just as good. Estimate is just as good. And it just is so cutesy.
Yes, we've mobilized America to fix the English language. Sure, it's a big job, but somebody has to do it. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Call us with the most irritating or just wrong words and phrases. And this next segment, we're calling Language Out of the Box. No more business as usual around here. It's a win-win situation and something of a wake-up call for people who want to be most impactful when they are efforting to interface in a one-on-one, face-to-face, mano-a-mano, up-close and personal way. And if you think I'm sounding even more annoying than I usually do in the morning, here's Jeremy Butterfield, who's joining us from Glasgow, Scotland. He's the author of a new book called Damp Squid. It's actually my new favorite English phrase, Damp Squid, the English language laid bare, which features the most annoying words and phrases in the English language. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning to you, John.
I love this idea of damp squid, but I don't want to waste any time on that. How did you compile the most annoying phrases, and who is your judge?
The judge is the public, John, as always, with any language. From various radio shows and websites, I collected the phrases that people reckon are most annoying.
And is the annoyance, does it come from being incorrect grammatically? Does it come from being overused? Does it come from being too corporate and fundamentally dishonest? Describe the nature of the annoyance.
Sure. I think you've hit the nail on the head, excuse the cliche, with those three types. Sometimes it's grammatically wrong, so people get really annoyed when people in Britain, and I guess it's the same in the States, say, I shouldn't have done that.
Okay, that's an incorrect one.
That's an incorrect one. That's a grammatical one.
Impactful would be another one of these grammatical ones, right?
I'm not so sure about that.
Really?
I mean, I think people also object to new words, you know? People are, or lots of people are very conservative in their language choices. They may not be in their lifestyle and so on, but when it comes to language, I think there's often an innate conservatism. Because impactful is just a new word. Whether it's necessary or not is a different kind of judgment, in my view.
Can you use nouns as verbs, as people often do? And impact, that's another example. You're using a noun as a verb. Is that a normal way new words get into the English language?
Indeed it is. Think of salting and peppering your food.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, there are two nouns which have historically been translated into verbs. People get really hot under the collar, don't they, about verbing. And I think, you know, in your summary earlier on, you mentioned to interface. That's one I really don't like myself because it's so vague and you don't really know what it means. I might not just say to work with, to talk to communicate with, and so on. There are lots of alternatives. One of the other things you said was, do people just get fed up because these words are overused? And that is certainly one of the reasons people, you know, dislike words and phrases.
You have a category called tired idioms. What are a couple of those?
It's not rocket science.
That's a good one.
I mean, if it isn't, yeah, what is, presumably if it's not, the only thing that is rocket science is rocket science, if you know what I mean. And it's a nightmare. I mean, that's a metaphor, isn't it?
That is the worst.
But, you know, everything's a nightmare. You could, I don't know, you might run out of toothpaste and you say, oh, my God, it's a nightmare. Well, not really. You know, get a grip. It's a fairly minor thing.
Could I run one by you here?
Please do.
What do you think of this phrase? Let's circle back and talk about that, you know, maybe tomorrow.
That's a new one on me, John. Let's circle back. What does it mean to you? Can you explain it to me?
I don't know. I get constantly told that we're going to circle back and kind of go over something again, and it drives me completely insane. Here, let me share with you some of our listeners' pet peeves here.
The misuse in our country of the word myself over the last 10 years in particular has always driven me crazy. People use myself instead of me, instead of I. It's really annoying.
So this is a grammatical one. What's the rule on myself?
The grammatical one is that, strictly speaking, you should only use, you can use myself, how can I do this quickly? You can either use it in a reflexive construction, like I wash myself very carefully, or you could use it for emphasis, I did it myself. But I know what your listener's talking about. It's phrases like, myself and my wife went to the dinner party.
There you go. Yeah, that's annoying.
So that is technically, grammatically wrong. And I don't know, you've probably noticed it as well with yourself. Can I get some, you know, in a restaurant, somebody might say, can I get something for yourself? Now, why are they saying that instead of you? I think there's a very good reason, which is it sounds politer. You know, to say, can I get something for you could sound a bit abrupt and rude.
All right, here's another one that I want to get your view of here. This one is a pretty standard annoyance.
The word that I can't stand is the word indescribable, because it makes no sense. It means something that cannot be described. However, as soon as you call something indescribable, you have just described it. Therefore, the word is actually meaningless. Things cannot be indescribable.
I don't know if I'd want to be trapped in the same car as that person, but indescribable, I mean, he does have a point there, don't you think?
He's got a point, but I would suggest that this word embodies a paradox. Yes, he's right in saying that you have described it, but what you haven't done is described it in detail. So you're admitting to your failure to describe it adequately, but you're also conveying a very strong impression. So I think it's quite a useful word.
Well, Jeremy, you know, we could go on like this for hours. Let me give you one last one here, and this is one that I do all the time. I get in trouble with this one around the house.
My language terror is the two words put together are commonly misused, and they are sort of. They're overused, and they drive me crazy. Sort of. Sort of this, sort of that. But what is it? Use exact words.
Sorry. It's sort of. It's kind of a disease, isn't it?
It's kind of a well, we've just done it, haven't we? It's sort of a disease. But, you know, lots of language is vague, and we need these hedges, as they're called, to help us communicate. We can't be precise all the time, John. I mean, I know you can be, and I know I can be sometimes, but, you know, it's very tiring, isn't it?
Well, it's a strength of the English language that we can spend all this time talking about the most annoying phrases in it. Your book, Damped Squid, The English Language Laid Bare, is a great list of the most annoying phrases in the English language. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.